Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a two-faced Twi'lek and a pugilist droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Salonian captain and the Gandroid tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hadean way.
Previously on Heroes of the Hydean Way, the Zon Consortium had engaged the enemy veiled sorority ships in a fierce space battle. The crew of the Sky on Fire had made their way to and boarded the Queen's flagship, even as the tides of the battle turned against their allies. Through the corridors, past enemies and holes in the hull, only to be caught by a Savrip in the hall outside the bridge. They fought from one end to the other, knowing this was their only route, until a lucky blow from the Savrip caught Vistrano by surprise. Can they make it to the Queen now that they're shorthanded? Find out on this week's episode. Welcome to the party.
Welcome to Heroes of the Hydean Way. This is a live play podcast that explores published adventures in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Alright, current adventures, Mask of the Pirate Queen. This is Act 3, Episode 8. And I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
And I am Billy, currently sitting at 13 wounds, 2 strain, and 0 crits.
And if you just want to like scream incoherently, I think everybody would be on board.
I have a picture to show all of you, world. Once we get to this point, it has a sad smiley face on it. But it's a me, Ren/Vistrano. Sitting at 14 wounds of my 19. 5 strain. A big old crit. Only 3 limbs. Significant pool of blood. But stubbornness.
You will be triumphant.
That's my story.
It's me, Brandon. I'm Brandon and Berylyn. I have 4 wounds and 5 strain and a broken arm still.
An old crit.
Now, to be clear, the other two were like counting down, so you only have 4 wounds left?
No, I have 4 wounds.
Okay. So see, this is the confusion for our audience. See, Brandon and I count up, the other two count down. So
what do you mean count?
No, I switched it.
Yeah, no, 13 what? Is I have taken 13 wound.
Yeah, I've taken 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I'm confused.
Yeah.
It's okay. Illyn is often confused.
When you started to protest, I was like, really? I'm pretty sure those are the right amounts of wounds.
I changed it.
Okay, so now I'm going to mess this up probably. So let's see. Everybody can make fun of me. Hi, everybody. I'm Christine. I'm playing Illyn Cav. And Illyn is currently at 12 wounds out of 14 and 2 strain out of 15.
And?
Oh, and has a crippled right arm.
That's what I thought.
Because we're all banged up in the limb department, except for Billy.
All,
what?
But, you know, not all banged up in the limb department, but I think we can fix that.
In this context, I don't feel like poor Billy is the case, except for the strange look that the captain is giving her.
I also don't feel like I'm banged up. I feel like I am sliced off.
I just don't want anybody to feel left out.
Left? How dare you? My poor left arm.
Hey, my left arm's broken.
It's still there.
My left arm squeaks slightly when I do this.
Well, don't do that.
Yeah. We're trying to be stealthy. Don't do that.
I don't think there's stealth anymore.
I think Vistrano's screams have killed the stealth just a little.
I figure it's a new form of stealth because anybody around will just assume that the Savrip is winning.
I mean, clearly they couldn't have survived that.
Billy, the Savrip is winning.
Yeah, you say that like it's not true.
I dare say we might surprise it yet. I'm not saying that we shall. I'm just saying it is a potentiality.
It is technically possible in a universe with, you know, where many things are possible. Yes.
To learn more about our characters, we get one hero to ask another a question. Today, it is Billy.
That got really ominous really fast.
Well, I mean, this is your last question. Possibly forever.
Forever.
The rest of us are too preoccupied with our limbs to handle Helen, asking questions.
Oh, might I ask you a strange question?
Of course.
Now, is Gand a common language to find in a translation compartment? I do not understand. Diode? Or is it something... Is it something that you had to program specifically into K1?
Oh, well, Illyn bought... Hold on, while Illyn scrolls through Illyn's gear list.
Don't mind me, the Saffron's just sitting on my chest.
Billy, Illyn just bought a Trinlang Holo 5 audiovisual translator and plugged it into K1. It knows several million languages, and Gand was among them. The Gand language isn't that uncommon.
I will take your word for it. Thank you. That was very informative.
That's it?
Yes.
Okay. This is a strange time to ask.
Well, here's the thing, Cav. You see... Hi, I'm Captain Barrowin. I want to tell you about Tranlang. Tranlang. 1 million ways to say I love you. Or something. I don't know. I'm not. Somebody give me a slogan.
Has Barrowin switched from doing PSAs to doing company slogans?
There is more money in it.
Yeah, there's like a star that floats across the screen. The more you know.
I feel like more money is disingenuous since PSAs are usually done without much in the way of any funding.
I mean, yeah, that's why there's more money in corporate advertising.
So perhaps the crew should have this conversation at a later date when the crew isn't all dying.
The Saffron's just like, huh? What are you people doing?
Smash cut to after this when Barrowin is on the phone with the Tranlang people. What do you mean there's too much blood in the commercial?
The Saffron's looking at the four of us
all that blue
do you
stuff
not know what I'm
blood.
Doing here?
That was engine coolant. Definitely not Pantoran blood.
All right. So, what is our destiny pool since we have rolled it?
It is one light side point and 3 dark side points.
You're welcome, by the way.
So, this is going to be a blooper heavy episode.
I don't know what makes
you
think that.
Yeah, that was sort of a guarantee going in.
Despair.
Okay.
There's
Black
no nervous
despair.
Tension here.
Some of us had significant oxygen deprivation.
Well,
in
that's
real
been
life?
Illyn's entire life.
Phantom dogs.
Full stop.
Okay, so where we left our heroes was with Warg the Savrip taking a swipe at Vastrana at the end of the, second, third round?
It doesn't matter.
The final round.
The final countdown.
At the end of the second round, where they connected and did a significant portion of damage to Vastrana, and they had 2 triumphs and a despair. We resolved 1 triumph with Vastrana's limb getting chopped off. And we still have a triumph and a despair left. And then that does bring up the question for me. So, Vastrana used K3 to help close up the door in the last room.
Yeah.
And is K3 still on Vastrano's left arm?
Yes, the arm is just over there.
Yeah.
Illyn's baby.
I'm the worst babysitter.
The wound is significantly higher than Vastrano's wrist.
That's up to the GM.
Axes are big, though.
Because we never did specify where, like, how much of Estrano's arm was lost. Is it, like, maybe, like, right at that, like, middle point of K3? Are we higher? Are we just the fingers?
I think that's where destiny comes in.
So what I'm envisioning, especially considering it is a massive fibroax, I'm going to use the second triumph to trigger Sunder. And in this case, Sunder is going to be hitting K3. So it may not be exactly the blade that gets into Vistrano's wrist, but it could be like the haft hitting and smashing into K3.
Okay.
Sad beeps.
So this would be damage, like, since K3 is essentially like a wrist comp, it would be damaging by one damage level. So if using K3 for any computer related things, it's going to be K3 will be adding a setback as well as any help.
That's fair and a lot kinder than destroying her outright. Also, appropriately enough, she only has 3 wounds, which nicely represents the 3 damage stages.
Kind of, yeah, does, yeah. So,
this just got dark.
Yeah, I'm going to go in and mark down a wound in addition to the my note here that she is damaged one step. You better believe that when that arm hits the ground, she's going to unclamp and try to get the heck out of the way. In fact, some of the other droids may be trying to do stuff here.
So that is what I'm figuring is going to happen with the second of the two triumphs. That it is going to be damaging K3, and I'm figuring like one of K3's legs is broken.
Okay.
From that, on account of K3's got like 6.
Yeah, one of the little spider clamps is still on the ground.
Yeah. Well, maybe not exactly like broken off, but like broken.
All right, I figured this way she has solidarity with all of us.
All right, so we still have the despair that is going around that needs to be resolved.
He accidentally cuts off his own leg.
It's like a 2 despair thing.
There's so much Vistrano blood that he trips. No, just kidding. But maybe.
I mean, there
yeah,
could
knock,
be.
Knocking him prone is a possibility.
He's blinded in the spray of blood.
Ooh.
Either that or the Vibrax maybe gets stuck into the wall
no.
or something.
He gets some
in
blood
my
in his
arm.
Mouth.
Stuck in Vistrano.
He gets some blood in his mouth and he spends the next round trying to get it out because Pantoran blood is gross.
Wow. That's some severe judgment about the quality of my blood. I am uncomfortable.
Maybe he's vegan. You
What's
don't know.
Wrong with you, Billy?
Oh, gosh. Maybe. Do you
Please
think Vistrano is the type
is
to be vegan? I feel like that's actually probably.
No. The Savrip would be vegan, and that's why he doesn't want the blood in his mouth.
Oh, I thought you were saying that vegan blood was really gross. That, you know.
All right. So, what do we want to do with that despair?
Taste like broccoli.
Do we want to knock the Saber down? Do we want to disarm him? What do we want to do?
And by disarm, we are meaning
of the Vibroax.
The Vibroax. I thought I would clarify for
That's
our listeners.
Well, I mean,
because currently there seems to be a lot of arm issues with people.
All right. So, what do we want, people?
Ren, I think it's probably your call since this was on a roll targeting you. Do you have a preference?
That's fair.
All right. So I'm just going to recap this chain of events here. The axe comes down. It slices into
it
both K3 and Vistrano. I feel like, I mean, that's some powerful axe action there. So maybe it does get stuck, but like in K3 a little bit. Because I feel like if it's going to plow through robot and arm, the robot's probably the thing that's going to get the axe stuck rather than
or like the
arm.
The floor.
Oh, the floor makes sense. Actually, yeah. If it was
yeah,
that
K3's
hard.
Not that big.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I don't want
okay,
the axe
yeah.
to get swung with
it. It was
yet.
So powerful. It smashes through both of those things and gets stuck in the floor.
So that totally would work. In that case, that means below the elbow amputation. Since that was a question. All right, so that does bring us to the end of that round.
So what is our initiative order?
It's one... It's one PC, then the NPC, and then the rest of us, with the NPC getting one more turn at the end because he is an enhanced nemesis.
Oh, that's right. This was the at the end of the round.
Yeah, exactly. But also at the end of the round is when I like little NPC-ish beings to go, such as a completely scared of out of its circuits K-droid.
Or what about the other one?
I think the other one might be just sort of with it enough to start shooting as well. It's like, well, if that one's shooting, I might as
well.
Yeah,
I think the, well, we lost K5 in the other room. K3 is skittering around on the ground. I think the other Ks have been getting out of Ilan's backpack during all this.
And, we lost K5?
K5 flew around in the vacuum room. I guess technically K5 is somewhere, but I don't think is immediately with us.
Oh, I thought we caught them. We caught them before they disappeared.
Yes. You caught them, but they're inactive.
Okay. So K6 and K7 are the two that are armed with heavy blaster pistols. As they're coming loose and witnessing blood everywhere, all of us looking really rough, it's kind of obvious who our attacker is. And I think with one of them panicking and the other one very calmly aiming, they're going to both fire. Now, the catch is where I know I'm shooting myself in the foot again. I don't think this is an order from Ilan. I think this is them doing it of their own accord.
So no boost.
So they totally don't get fair. Their 3 boost for Speaks Binary.
All right, so this is more like a Danger Blossom.
Sure. Could they still get a boost for like aiming or something?
Yeah, I can go with that. I would go with they're also at short range because, well, yeah, I kind of would. I'd actually sort of figure that they'd have flown up and are shooting down.
Okay. So what kind of difficulty am I looking at? And is there danger to hit us?
I would figure that it's a one red, one purple, and yes.
Okay. Then I will personally request if they do happen to hit somebody, let's hit Cav, because I don't want them to be responsible for hurting somebody else, because this dice roll is terrible.
I mean, if we get the luxury of choosing, Barrow wins the least damaged.
Yeah. So the roll is one yellow, one boost versus a red, purple, and the setback for Warg's defense.
This isn't that bad.
What were you saying?
Okay, it's bad.
I literally just got one to spare, so literally these droids have never hit a target except for now one of us.
I thought you only got a guaranteed friendly fire if you got a successful despair.
I don't believe that's true. GM's call. Technically, Ben doesn't have to use the despair for that. That's just on the table. See, I knew I shouldn't have done it. It felt right for the story, but at the same time, D1 wants to murder us.
I do think that the way it's phrased in the book is that it's an automatic thing, although obviously GMs can change whatever rules they like. You can go ahead and roll. I'm now curious about Leslie's question, so I'm looking it up, but I don't that's not binding to you in any way.
Yeah, well, as I was kind of under the impression of what Christine said, that it wasn't a guaranteed, but it was on the table like meat.
It does say that is automatically spent, but okay, so the actual sentence is, if the attacker's check succeeds but they generate at least despair, that despair is automatically spent to make the attacker hit one of the individuals engaged with the target of the GM's choice.
So it is on a successful
yes.
attack.
So technically you do not have the option of doing that because this attack did not succeed. If you're playing like strict rules as written, obviously.
Yeah. On the other hand, there is another aspect of doing a despair that it just sort of seems fitting for this is K6 and K7 go up and go full Danger Blossom on the Savrip. And from that, the thing that comes up after a good old Death Blossom is their guns are now damaged from it. Because they're shooting so much and trying so hard but missing.
Overheating.
That the guns overheat. Yes.
Okay. So their heavy blasters are damaged, a step done.
Yep.
All right. So now a PC gets to go.
Yep.
How you feeling, Vistrano? Would you like to have some words? or some wordless screaming?
I don't really think that Vastrano would go yet. I feel like Vastrano would be at this juncture still in a little bit of shock about what has just happened.
Okay, fair enough.
So if we want to try to take this take Warg out, Berwin's probably going to be the most accurate.
Is he disarmed or is he prone? I forgot. Sorry.
He is disarmed.
Yeah, axe is buried in
so
the
floor. He yep.
Yeah, I mean, if Vastrano's not going to go for it, Berwin is happy to jump in and just shoot him a bunch of times.
Yeah, how does she react to the loss of a crew member's arm?
Not well.
Well, and also, I'm pretty sure it was this round that Illyn got injured as well.
True.
Yeah, no, Berwin is... Berwin's got some stuff to work through after the danger has passed, but I think at the moment she's probably going to be in, like, kill the thing that's hurting her children mode.
Totally fair.
Now, Illyn currently has her pistol.
Especially because, like, I had just got done right before that happened for the second time ineffectively punching. So, I think it's good for somebody else to take a shot.
D1 hates us. D1 hates us so much.
Okay, so Berwin will go. Seeing everything that's happened, her eyes go wide. Her fur stands on end, and she... I forget how far away she was.
She was at most tail length away from the
Savrip. I think
Savrip.
We are all literally engaged with this Savrip.
Yeah.
Like a Denobulan wedding.
Yep. We talked about that episode this morning. not the wedding episode, time, but yeah. The first time that we hear about Denobulan marriages. Anyway, she goes for her blaster. To get it from Cav, whatever that may take, I assume at least a maneuver.
Yeah, I figure that would be a maneuver.
Yeah, if Illyn sees Berwin reaching out for the blaster, Illyn is going to like flip it around and pass it to her.
And then...
So yeah, that'll take a maneuver from Berwin to get done.
I'm trying to figure out if I have any other maneuvers I want to use. Hey, Ben.
Yo.
Do you think I can grapple this thing, or is it too big?
No, I'd go with you could grapple it, yes.
Okay. I will use a second maneuver, take two strain to use a second maneuver to grapple. So grapple is a talent Berwin has picked up from the martial arts tree. Until Berwin's next turn, the Savrip has to use two maneuvers to leave engaged range with her.
Okay.
So basically, she grabs the pistol, shouts, "Get clear!" And then, like, I don't know, wraps probably her broken arm around, like, the Savrip's neck or something, and attempts to shoot him at just point-blank range.
All right, so that's a pistol, so point-blank range would be two purple. With adversary, that'd bring it up to one red, one purple, and... With you being that close, I'm actually going to waive the defense.
Okay, I'll take it. Does anybody mind if I take the light side point?
Do it.
Do it.
Please. Just put us out of our misery. I mean, you know what I mean.
So, red, purple. All right, here we go. Well,
I hate you so much, D1.
Berwin shoots a bunch of times. Doesn't hit anything. with one failure and two advantage. However, okay, so she has jumped on the Savrip and is just like shooting probably as it tries to throw her off, I assume. So it's remarkably hard to actually get the blaster bolts to go where she wants them. If I could spend that two advantage to basically have her additionally like draw the Savrip's attention, that would be great. Basically,
yes, I can totally go with that.
He's just going to worry about dealing with her on his next...
Yeah.
On the turn he's about to take.
All right, so what the Savrip is going to attempt to do is to smash Berwin into the wall. Because I'm figuring like Berwin's essentially on his back
at
this
so.
Point.
Witness me.
Shiny and chrome. No, wait, that's me.
Yeah, also, honestly, it's kind of mediocre. You didn't hit.
Since there was no connection. Wow. Being one-armed makes Vistrano salty.
Silly question. What's Berwyn's defense?
2. But it's from her jacket, so I can understand if you want to pretend that doesn't matter here. Because
no, that does make sense. I will be using a dark side point on this because I can.
I appreciate that.
Can I pull for a setback for it to try and find a wall since it's currently surrounded by 3 other people?
Yeah, I
and
can
lots,
go with that.
Lots of stuff is going on.
He just slams Berwyn against the ceiling instead.
I mean, it's probably tall enough, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it is, but that would be mildly funny. All right, so I've got 4 yellow, a green, against 2 purple, and 3 setback. Does 1 success and 1 advantage out of all of that?
Well, I mean, that's still gonna hurt.
Well, it does 6 damage to Berwyn. So you tell me if that hurts.
Okay, it depends on if I'm allowed to parry it.
I don't see a reason why not.
Okay, now you've got to explain parry to me again. I'm still not 100% on that.
Does the fact that I'm holding my blaster matter?
I'm going to go with no.
Okay. All right, so other things Berwyn has picked up recently and not had a chance to use. She's got some parry and the talent unarmed parry, which lets her do parrying without a weapon. Parry by default requires that you have like a sword or something. So the way parry works is that after once it's time for her to take damage from a brawl, melee, or lightsaber attack, Berwyn has the option of suffering some amount of strain to reduce that damage by 2 plus the number of ranks in parry.
Oh.
So like the more parry you get, like the more damage you can negate.
So does that mean you automatically start out with 3?
Yes. 3 is the least. The least effective that parry gets is suffered 3 strain to reduce damage by 3, so you're just trading strain for wounds on 1-to-1 basis there. Unarmed parry is actually slightly cheaper. It only costs 2 strain. So Berwyn's going to take 2 strain to reduce this attack by 4, because she's got 2 ranks in parry. As she, the thing grabs for her, and she, I don't know, shifts around and, like, tail smacks his fists away and stuff like that. It's probably really cool looking. And because of the parry, her soak will eat up the rest of the attack. So she did take some strain to do that, but none of the wounds get through.
Which is kind of awesome.
That is pretty cool.
Yep. This is why I was trying to draw his fire all last session.
Well, it also does help that the Vibroax is buried in the floor now.
Yes, she could still parry the Vibroax, but it would have leftover damage. She would still feel that.
Yeah.
Just not as much piercing. As yeah. the rest of the group.
All right, so that is this slot, and now we have 3 PC slots. And a Berwyn who is apparently trying to like ride this Saffrip. Like a Bronco?
Yeah, she's just going to start trying to steer it.
So, who wants to react?
I was going to say, I at this juncture, feel like seeing what Berwyn had done may get Vistrano to get back into action.
So, somebody kill it! Somebody kill it, please!
Then, I am not going to ask permission. I am just going to do it. I'm going to flip that destiny point to trigger that thing that I forgot the name of, heroic fortitude, so that I don't have to take the penalties for being profusely bleeding out of my arm. Hole. Stump.
No, it's still an arm. It's just
arm stump.
Yeah.
Shorter. There's less of it.
Yeah.
To attempt to attack this thing.
Wait, so just real quick, what does your critical do to you? Because I know what the crippled does, because we've seen it for a while.
I just have missing arm and a sad smiley face on my page because I didn't.
I believe what maimed does is setback on everything.
Yeah.
And so what Heroic Fortitude does is ignores the penalties for brawl or melee checks when I'm in that critical penalty stage, was how I understood.
Yeah,
that.
So you're not taking the setback from...
Right, so I'm just doing it as normal.
The severity of the injury.
I'm
yep.
gritting my teeth and attacking, basically.
So that costs a point, you
yes,
said?
Yes, yeah. I need to...
Alright, in that case...
It means you
I
can't bypass Soak, sadly.
No, this is something that's happening beforehand.
Oh, okay.
So then Vastrano sees Barrowin in trouble, sees the whole situation, just literally just grits his teeth and goes at him. And
I am figuring that this is going to be a 2-red check.
Yeah, that makes total sense. What I'm going to do, because I have been having such a poor result with my punching, I'm going to quickly grab my vibro knife, or Vastrana is going to grab his vibro knife, that, and then stab for melee instead of brawl.
Can Vastrana get an advantage for the fact that Barrowin is on this thing's back?
Sure, I'll go with that. I'll definitely go with a boost for that.
So, we're looking at a yellow, boost, red. I'm actually better at melee dice-wise than punching, but my dice stuff has different bonuses. But anyway, I'm gonna hit enter now!
Wait, so melee is the thing that, like, Vastrano hasn't shown us his true power because once it comes out, he can't put it away again until it... tastes
no,
blood.
Melee does a little less damage because my fists are more precise, basically. It's weird. With all of that, I've come out with one single success. And what that means with my vibro knife is that... Okay, if I'm doing my math right, which I often do wrong, I believe that's 6 damage.
Pierce?
6 damage, pierce 2, vicious 1.
Okay. Silly question. Can you use anatomy lessons on this?
Yes.
Yes, but I don't have a destiny point to do it on because I just spent a destiny point to make the attack, I thought.
Well, Ben spent a destiny point to upgrade your difficulty, and I think timing window-wise...
Heroic Fortitude is a incidental that is encounter-wide.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not part of the attack.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And also, spending it for anatomy lesson is after the attack, whereas Ben spending it to increase the difficulty was before the attack, so, like, that point does exist for you.
That's why I was doubting it. Okay, that makes sense now.
Yeah. It's one of those things you have to kind of, like, space out the whole timing window thing, but...
Okay, yeah. I thought that if I, you know, spent it on one roll, I'll know all
it
this
It starts
by...
getting mushy. Yeah. No, this is two rules lawyers cutting a hair.
Yeah, so okay, then...
Brandon and I do.
Then I will flip that. I will flip that, which gives me a +4 to that, and I've got the feral strike. So that's 10 total damage with all of my weird nonsense that I can do. 10 damage, fierce 2, vicious 1.
Okay, so that is going to do its last 4 wounds. Because it was sitting at 20.
Thank the force.
It has 24 wounds. It has 6 soak. So that 10, pierce 2, is almost just enough to get through.
So how did you disembowel this?
Or is it just like a single jab up with the vibro knife into like their head or eye socket
Ooh,
or something?
Up the soft part of the jaw.
How tall was this fella?
Savrips are silhouette too. It's not actually unreasonable for the Savrip to raise its back up and smash Barrowin into the ceiling. Well, it's got a long snake-like neck, but you get the point.
All right, then, yeah, in that case, I'm envisioning, since his attention is on Barrowin and he has just smashed Barrowin, then what Vastrano is doing is reaching up and stabbing upwards at the nearest squishy-looking... thing that he can find in a very precise location where he knows that there are some very good arteries.
Important stuff.
To slice.
So, yes, with that, Warg comes crashing down. And Berwyn's able to roll off without taking any subsequent crashing damage. And we are now out of that combat.
And if we're now out of that combat, then Vistrano crumples.
Berwyn scampers over to Vistrano as quickly as she possibly can to try to support Vistrano.
Ilan is running over there as well, dropping the crate's breath to the side. And is going to start reaching for Vistrano's med pack.
Vistrano, are you all right? I'm sorry, I shouldn't have let him do that.
I'm
Say something.
I'm...
Oh, that's a lot of blood.
Yes? No. Yes.
Ilan?
The scan is working on it.
And Ilan has just, like, popped open that med pack and is digging around, wincing every time they are using their broken arm, but using it nonetheless as they start grabbing materials and are trying to slow the bleeding and stabilize Vistrano's maimed arm.
I think Vistrano is kind of like flitting his focus between Berwyn and Ilan, trying to look like he is not doing horribly unwell, but like can't actually totally control the focus of his eyes and is just kind of flitting in and out.
Berwyn will sort of slowly sink to the floor, cradling Vistrano just to stabilize him somewhat, and you know, like tucking his head against her shoulder and stuff, generally like trying not to panic.
I think when you do that, Vistrano just kind of like lets it happen and just flops.
So my question is, what is, like, mechanically what's going on? Like, I'm totally getting, like, what narratively is going on with Vistrano essentially collapsing to the floor, Berwyn helping, Ilan scampering over trying to help. But, like, is Ilan doing a medicine check?
Yes.
What? All right. And
Whether it is to treat Vistrano's wounds or the actual maimed crit, Ren, I leave that up to you which one you want me to try to tackle first.
It really...
Narratively, I think it's all the same thing, but...
I really feel like the obvious injury is the thing that is gushing the Pandoran blood, so I think it makes sense to deal with that.
All right, so, like, it is a hard... crit, and in this case it won't heal the crit, or essentially it won't get back the arm. The arm's gone, but it will heal the crit aspect to it.
So will that remove the setback that they're ignoring anyway, or will it just...
I'm not ignoring the setback anymore.
No,
we're out of the encounter. Oh. So
yeah,
so will it
yeah
then...
heroic fortitude doesn't last forever.
Honestly, that'll essentially just get rid of the crit being on Vistrano. As long as that arm is gone, the setback is still going to be present.
So it removes the crit boost to a roll. Like, so if somebody does another crit, it's just the regular crit is not plus 10 anymore, basically.
You are correct.
Yeah, but I also just think that narratively, like, Ilan would be smart enough to go for the thing that is very bleeding.
I mean, wouldn't it still get rid of the setback to everything effect of the crit? Like, I know lacking an arm does mean that there's, like, situational setback thereafter, but...
Well, the way that the crit reads in how I'm looking at it is, target cannot perform actions that would require the use of both hands. All other actions gain one setback. So it sounds like what missing an arm...
Yeah, I feel like that is a forever... Until I get like a mechanical arm or something.
Okay, so Ilan has actually taken a rank in medicine. So Ilan has one yellow, three green. The boost from the proper med pack here at versus three purple. Let's see if I keep rolling like crap.
Yeah.
Keep rolling like crap.
Whew.
So it's only two advantages. So the crit is going to linger for the next week, kind of like Barrowend's. Two advantages, I guess I'll give you back a couple of strain, Vistrano, as at least the painkillers and the like bandaging and stuff is at least making you feel a little bit better, even if it's not
I'll take it.
Actually patching you
I'll
up.
I'll take it.
Are you planning to try to also do a roll against Fasano's wounds?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Good news. You can do this, Ellen. Just I believe in you. And I'll suffer a strain to use encouraging words to assist. Which is still just gonna be a boost, I think, because I don't have any medicine, but
that was also funny for me. I am going to use a dark side point though.
So much okay. blood everywhere.
I'm gonna guess you were over half your wounds or under half, however you count.
I am. Absolutely. I have taken 14 wounds of my 19 total.
Okay. So let's try this again. Yellow, 3 green, 2 blue now versus a red and a purple.
Because Barrowin's fur is soaking up all the blood.
Okay.
Like cause.
I have proven that I can succeed on a check tonight. That is good. Although I want to point out, it's all because of the boost, not any of my actual skill dice.
Wink. Technically, your ability does.
That's true. The one carries over.
Yeah, being very smart, but then also...
So that's 3 successes, 3 advantages. So 3 plus the 1 base means you're going to heal 4 wounds, Vastrano. And do you need 3 more strain? You got it back. So I think at this point, Ilan's jacket and hands are just covered in blue. But the Vastrano's arm is bandaged and wrapped. Got a nice little like back to capsule like clip to it or something, trying to like go to the wound and keep it from getting infected and things like that. Kind of like the setup we see on Luke's hand at the end of Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, that's exactly where my head was going to.
I like
yeah.
that you have a very techie approach to healing with, like, gadgets. And Vastrano is very, like, sewing things up and being gross and biological about it.
Yeah.
Okay, Vastrano, how are you feeling?
It's right as rain there, Ellen.
Okay, Ellen is going to do this just to for good measure. I'm going to use one of my stim packs on your end. I don't know how many you've had today.
I believe I already had one.
So then this one you would recover 4 wounds.
All right. This may be all the scan can do for now. Barrowin, the crew needs to get out of here.
Barrowin will help Vastrano get to his feet, make sure that Vastrano can stand his own weight or you know, let Cav take over so that...
He can. There's a little bit of a stumble, but... He's standing.
Ilan, Vastrano, head back to the Sky and Fire. We just have to... Billy and I will finish this. And we'll meet you there.
And where Vastrano was kind of slightly starting to zone out a little bit, as soon as you say that, he just snaps back into focus. What do you... No, of course not. That's absurd.
I'm not joking, Vastrano. You could have died.
We all could have died.
But Vastrano is hurt.
And then Vastrano will ignore that and then look over at Billy. Billy, how are you doing?
In the meantime, Billy made no moves to help Vastrano. Instead, she kind of moved around and she gathered up the K's, kind of set them in, like, just so that they're all together. I imagine they're actually kind of huddled around K3. She walked over to the Savrip and... if the GM will have it, pulled a command cylinder off of his belt. And then she threw all 3 of her patches on her person. Wait, hold on. Do I have 3 or do I have 2? Son of a crap. Nope. Never mind. She has 1.
Leslie, I can make this better than for you. When you slapped 1 upon your person, K1 will float over and slap the other 2 you wanted on you.
So I got a total of...
That would be 9 wounds, oh, wow. Since emergency repair patches are always the same. For
that's right. That's right, because that's screwy. How does math work? That means I'm at 4. Sorry, that had... But so she would have done all that.
I agree with the captain. That is the wisest choice. However, I believe that at this point, there is no separating us. We are all together, or we are nothing. However, Captain, may I make a request of you?
Go ahead.
Pending the completion and hopeful success of this mission, I would like to tender my resignation as First Mate. I was not prepared. I should have spoke sooner, more firmly.
Billy, we'll talk about it later.
Very well. It's on the table. She holds up the command cylinder. Now, if you would like to bolster yourselves, let's end this.
Vastrano, the scan still thinks that Vastrano should go back to the ship. The scan is happy to, or the scan is willing, or the scan would escort Vastrano there.
I think we're all staying together, Kev. Just you two stay behind us.
Wait. If the crew is going to proceed forward, can Illyn send some of Illyn's children ahead to make sure there aren't any more Savrips aboard, at least?
If you want. But if they're there, we're going to go through them. We've come too far to stop.
If they're there, the scan will have an alternative plan in mind.
Illyn will go ahead and click a couple of commands to the Ks, to, I guess, K4, 6, and 7. And see if, since 5's out of commission, and try to send them, see if there is a little hatch or something they can use to creep in on the bridge.
I'm going to go with yes, because the Mostroid hatches just seem to make sense. Little too small for, I don't know, a Salonian to get through or something, but yeah, that totally makes sense. I do want to get a stealth check off of them. It would be a 3 purple stealth check.
Okay. They are a minion group with training in stealth, so that's going to be yellow, yellow, green, with 3 boosts because of Cav's 3 ranks and speaks binary, versus 3 purple. 5 successes and 1 advantage.
Nice.
They are the wind.
All right.
They invent cloaking.
I didn't know that they're Romulan.
Pretty close. So yeah, the 3 of them disappear through the droid flap, and then they scan around and come back saying that they see 2 groups of guards that seem to be just on the other side of the door that are in amongst the consoles, 3 of them to the left, 3 of them to the right, and a bridge crew at the very far end that seems to be going and trying to fly a ship. And there in the middle, facing the door, is a being dressed as the Pirate Queen.
Ren, you were saying you were doing something while the K's were going forward?
Oh yeah. So when Illyn mentions the their children, Vastrano looks very concerned and then goes to go find K3.
I think K3, it was just hovering over where the deactivated K5 and K1 are currently hanging out, just sort of on the ground right now, since there isn't a person currently to hang off of, looking a little. Little worse for wear with that one clawed leg. I think maybe like dangling by like 2 wires or something.
Then Vastrano will kind of go over and sort of gingerly put his hands out, sort of like asking consent to pick K3 up. And
singular.
Then, I'm sorry?
Hand.
Oh my gosh, my hand! Oh, I've already forgotten. Yeah, I feel like I should just, when I roleplay, put my left hand behind my back. Yes, reaching, he goes to reach both hands down, but can't. So there's just one hand, and picks K3 up, and kind of tries to apologize.
I think this is when she'll crawl up your right arm a little bit, and go ahead and clamp on, which is a little bit like getting a droid hug.
I'm not crying, you're crying. yeah, then...
Can't see through the blood.
Then Vastrano will walk back over to Illyn, and with the one hand he has left, take Illyn's hand.
Illyn will give Vastrano's hand a squeeze, but their eyes are still focused on the little hatch where the droids went, and that's about when they fly back in and give us the report.
Yeah, they essentially, I'm figuring one of them is able to project a holo image of what's going on, whether they've got to transfer that to like K1 or K3. But
I think that it's probably, I've described it as K3 in the past, and I think that would be kind of appropriate here, where Vistrano, like Ilan will like open up the hatch on K3 for Vistrano, and we see on the display the presence of the groups of guards and the bridge crew and the queen. No more Savrips.
Good.
I think during this, K1 is taking the time to pick up K5. K1 is a little bit bigger than the smaller scout Ks. Will fly over and is depositing K5 into the back of into Ilan's backpack for safe transport.
Billy will note what she's doing and kind of lift the flap of the bag to make it a little easier.
Thank you, Billy.
You're welcome. I'm sorry, my friend. This is not what you wanted. And were I to survive this, and the captain accepts my resignation, I would like to take you somewhere else. We could go on a vacation.
When you said somewhere else, K1's entire body kind of tilts to the side like a dog's, you know, head cocking to the side when they're looking very, like, quizzical.
Is she actually going to ask a question? She's just going to do the posture.
She's just tilted to the side right now. You can see her like, thinking for a moment. And then she like, her little photoceptor blinks and she asks,
Where do you want to go, Billy?
I do not know much about this galaxy, but I feel we could find our way. Have I told you about my friend Roy?
I met Roy. I was there.
Well, I received a letter that invited me to visit, and I feel that you are not such a burden that you would not be included, if you would enjoy coming.
K1 does spare a glance towards Ilan.
Oh, Ilan, forgive me. Forgive me. I should include you in this conversation.
K1 is her own droid. Ilan has always been honored by K1's decision to stick by Ilan, but K1 has expressed a distaste for this life. K1, it's up to you.
And K1 looks back at Billy and says,
In that case, I would be honored to accompany you, Billy. Don't worry about Ilan. Ilan can always build a new translator if this turns into a bit of an extended vacation.
And Ilan nods at that.
I hear that the translation module includes Gand readily, so...
That is true. Now then, why don't we finish this?
K1 says.
And then we can start planning that vacation.
All right. So, the... I'm going to go with Billy has that code cylinder.
I'm holding a code cylinder. I will hand it to the captain.
All right. Barrowin motions for everybody to kind of like mount up on either side of the door. How big is this door?
It's 2-person wide.
Okay. So she'll get on the side that has the code cylinder receptacle, and like motion for the rest of the group to kind of fall into position, probably Billy on the other side of the door, and then Ilan and Vistrano, you know, behind Barrowin and Billy.
All right.
She's got her blaster pistol in hand.
One more thing before we do open up the door. Ilan is going to stick themselves with another stim pack, just that way they have a chance to survive a hit. And they are out.
Just so everybody knows, whatever happens in there, I love all of you.
Then she plugs the code cylinder into the thing and says, deep breath.
The blast door cycles into the floor and ceiling of the corridor, revealing the bridge of the Renegade's blood. Red lights flicker, and a number of bodies can be seen lying amid the carnage of different bridge compartments. Whimpers and moans come from the wounded, while urgent voices call out updates and warnings as the battle rages on outside. Suddenly, a blaster bolt ricochets off the wall, barely missing Barrowin's head.
We've got company.
And you can see the queen with her cape, and she's holstering her pistol as she then draws her vibro rapier. As you look in, you can see a small group of bridge crew up at the front. They're the You can see hints of the guards that do seem to be in behind a bit of cover and are pulling out their own pistols and swords. And, like, the ship itself sort of seems like it's falling apart around them, but you've got the surprisingly dedicated bridge crew up front that just completely are blanking this out. And there's the Queen standing pretty resplendent.
Welcome to the party, Berwyn and company. It seems that this is where our shared paths will end.
And at this point, I do want to get an initiative, a new initiative for everyone.
I assume cool for us.
Yeah, it'll be cool for you, and it's going to be vigilance for them.
So our initiative for this combat is one NPC slot, then a PC, then an NPC, then two PCs, then the last NPC, followed by the last PC. So Ben, you're up first.
The thing that feels right is, to me, the thing that really does feel right, and also it does kind of go with the rules and whatnot, is the Queen has her vibro rapier, vibro rapier out, and is going to raise it and run at Berwyn, trying to slice them.
Really? Not even a monologue?
I mean, she said some stuff.
Plus, this way the captains can have an epic duel. This is turning into, like, very Mal Reynolds versus the operative.
I'm flipping a dark side point. Berwyn has two defense.
Two defense. I am not going to flip.
There is a functionality to, I would say that they were behind cover, at least for the charge. And she misses. Okay, like, every bad die came up failure.
Yeah.
And every good die came up with a success, so that is...
Yeah, that's an interesting roll.
That's a really weird roll. She did get three advantage, so I'm thinking at least forcing Berwyn out from behind cover, but now is engaged and giving a boost.
Are you trying to make up to us, D1?
Yeah, she comes in, Berwyn, like, slinks out of the way and into the room, basically. Okay. Leslie, do you want to go first, or do you want Berwyn to buff you before you have to make the roll?
I have...
If Berwyn buffs you, one of the minion groups gets to go before you do.
But I'm not...
It might be worth it.
Super worried about the minion group just yet. Because, I mean, you are out of cover, and the Queen is engaged with you, but it was two people wide, so I'm still right there, looking all menacing-y and shiny and slightly misshapen because I've kind of... I might still have part of a chair stuck around one leg. Okay. Add boost, increased effect. Okay. Sorry, I was looking at the...
So then you want to...
If you want to do your thing. You. I want to hear an epic captain speech.
It's not the time for an epic speech, necessarily.
A brief. Brief epic speech.
Inspiring.
Get him, Billy! I'm really paranoid. Okay. Get him? That was your plan?
Okay, after Berwyn dodges the Queen, she says, "Here's the thing. We've been through a whole lot chasing you down, and we're really eager to get it all done. But no matter what's happened, we've hung together, and that's because, I mean, the real payout is the family we made along the way." She makes eye contact briefly with each of the crew members. "So you cannot stop us." Inspiring leadership. Yeah, and the camera. looks eye contact with everybody, also the camera.
Well, it's like a turn, so Berwyn actually, like, does the full rotation and just catches the camera on the way through.
Alright, so I'm not gonna mess with it.
Well, nobody's super impressed by Berwin's speech, because I've just got one advantage on the inspiring leadership. So yeah, Berwyn will just boost whoever goes next. So somebody was slightly inspired, ooh, but not, like, a lot inspired.
Can you do a bouncing setback to the next bad guy with a single advantage, or does it have to be two?
You can't get setback at all until you have two.
Yeah.
And then I believe it's defined as having to be the target.
Oh, okay.
Of the
attack. Like, suddenly they realize they're up against an epic group of main story people.
Like, crap, we didn't realize we were up against a family.
We can't do that. No, see, now it's turning into Turtles 2. Like, this is our family too, man.
The queen's like, now they have the power of friendship.
Why are they glowing? I'm so confused. Okay, sorry.
Failing that, Berowyn will then, like, grab hold of the queen and swing her around as a grapple.
Okay, fair enough.
So now we're grappled,
yep.
And that's all.
On account of I have bridge guards, three of them, so I'm going to go with the Berowyn was on the right, so I'm going to go with the left-hand side. They're going to take their heavy blasters and vibro swords and attempt to attack Billy with them at the same time.
Are they two-weapon fighting?
They are two-weapon fighting against Billy.
Wait, they're dual-wielding...
Yep, sword and blasters. It is harder than dual-wielding weapons of the same type, but it is allowed.
But I feel like they're going to get in their own way, because that means somebody's going to have to be engaged with me at some point.
No, that's pretty much the thing, is that the three of them are coming up and trying to get engaged with Billy. And shoot and stab at Billy. Primary is going to be the vibro sword. The secondary is going to be the...
By the way, are they engaged with me?
Yes, one might say that. So, what's Billy's defense?
I have two defense. I also have fearsome. Thank you, by the way, Illyn, for this jacket. It has done me very well.
Okay.
You're welcome.
And shall continue to do me well.
So if they're using mismatch types, it's upgraded once again?
The difficulty increases by two.
Increases? That's what you get for being fancy looking,
guys. Dual wielding two things that use the same skill is increased by one. Dual wielding things that use a different skill is increased by two.
All right.
I wasn't expecting that.
D1 is definitely trying to make it up to us.
The I don't know. I saw that fail.
The more I think that something's going to fail.
Oh, no. It's probably just waiting for me to use the Ion Stunner and hit Berowyn again.
Okay. So for the two yellows, two greens, because they've got four brawn, four agility. There's three of them. They're both trained, or they're all trained in ranged light and melee. Hence the reason why I've got to do this. But it was against four purple and two setback. The setback didn't do anything. But the four purples canceled out the two yellow and two green. So all dice have canceled out.
My setbacks might have done nothing, but I still look fabulous.
And now we have two PCs.
Okay. Billy is going to step in. So they all crowded around and they're jostling and trying to get to her.
Yeah.
And she's going to take one step in closer and kind of tilt her head to one side and say, "Now, there are those that have heard that the house always wins, but I think I will challenge this notion." And she pulls her cards real quick out of, like, she's, I don't know, she's, it's a nervous habit, but she pulls her cards out and does a 52 pickup in their face, and then she starts beating the living snot out of them.
All right. And how are you going to do that?
I'm going to do that with my fists and my person, and...
Are you doing a brawl check?
It is. Is it a brawl specific? No, it is it is actually a resilience check that I'm doing.
What are you doing to use this?
So Billy is going to make use of her new talent, well, I say new, moderately new talent, called Last One Standing, in which I will spend two light side points to make a resilience check, hard, well, if I succeed, I'll tell you how that goes. So, hard. Oh, hold on, let's do those destinies. So, I have two ranks in resilience. It is three purple. I have a boost. And I have a boost. All right, all that showboating for nothing, we'll see. So, I'm also going to use my gift and my cards to make my life slightly less horrible. I'm going to reroll my two blank good dice. I can't walk away. So is that's my action?
Yes, but you did get five advantage out of it.
Bouncing boost, 2 setback to their fear check.
Okay.
Why would we expect anything less? That was 2 fail and 5 advantage on a really cool skill, which now means nothing. On the plus side, Billy looks really impressive right now.
Okay. Are we on to the next turn?
Yes, we're on to a player slot.
Vastrano, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I'll go.
All right.
Vastrano will look at Cav, nod, grab the vibro knife, look at the queen. Well, I suppose we probably all were expecting a bit of a monologue, but Vastrano will go and stab. Not stabbing somewhere very critical, but yeah.
Stabbing somewhere moderately critical.
Was going to try to rush up on the queen, or am I being blocked from that?
Yeah, you can make it to the queen, sure.
But what is my difficulty?
You're going against a queen, that would be, and you're doing melee, so that's 2 red, 1 setback.
That is 2 successes and a threat, obviously, because she's very threatening. That would be 5, 7 damage, pierce 2, vicious 1.
Can you use your power?
I wasn't sure what our count was.
We've got 1 left. Light side.
I'd rather wait and let somebody else do something.
All right, so that is able to land in, I'm going with, like, upper arm and get a fairly decent slice in. And as everything going on, I think that it's going to be a strain being taken. Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydian Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydian Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me on Twitter at LessLitGS.
And you can find me at Atomic Firebird.
I'm on Twitter at Blue of the Kin.
And you can find me and Illyn on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 1-2 TH and Night with a K.
We are all at thehydianway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydian Way.
If you... Nope. That was the wrong... Sorry.
No worries.
I just defaulted to go back to the Patreon one.
No worries.
Seriously, if you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find our podcasts on Apple and Google Podcasts, Stitcher and Spotify, and find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydian Way, and you can holocom us at heroes@thehydianway.com.
If you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydianway.
And if you like trains in the background, you could donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/thehydianway.